What's up? Welcome in. Happy Tuesday. We're Grant and Danny. This is The Fan. John Keim is on the show in 1 hour at 3 o'clock. Covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. We'll get his thoughts on a big news day in Ashburn. And Bill, Jacory Krosky-Merritt stops by at 5. That's in 3 hours. We will talk to Bill at 5 p.m. about the dismissal of Cliff Kingsbury. The big story of the day, which we'll get to in just a second. Danny, happy anniversary to you.
I was going to say, it gets buried in this. We could celebrate tomorrow, but there's so much news today that we don't have a chance to do our normal formalities of you and I coming together, building this show. It's the most significant event in January, on January 6th, in D.C. local history. Don't bother looking that up. It's you and I and one. Nothing else is outside of that, or close to that, rather.
12 years.
12 years, buddy.
Ago today, the world changed, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
Not the junkies, but we're chugging along.
No, I mean, I was like, yeah, we're getting close. And they're like, we're celebrating 30 this year. I'm like, damn it. We're not close.
I feel good about 12, though.
Yeah.
I will take that. 12 years, a couple of time slots, and a lot of losing football ago.
So much of that.
But let's get to the news of the day. You know, it's funny. Joe Witt Jr. is getting no run at all. That was a formality.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
Technicality. We knew it was coming. He was going to be out. They were going to move on. But it does feel a little bit like, forgive the analogy here, like when two people pass on the same day and one of them's a celebrity or something and that's who we talk about. It's like there's somebody else here. Two people are out of a job today. One is Joe Witt and one is Cliff Kingsbury. And all of the attention, for good reason, understandably, is being paid right now on the offensive side of the ball in Kingsbury. The phrase being used is a mutual parting of ways.
Interesting, isn't it?
When I get fired by this radio station, I want them to call it a mutual parting of ways. Can we do that, please?
I've been dumped, but it was mutual. You know what I mean? Is that what happened?
You ever ended a relationship with a girlfriend and it wasn't your idea, but she was kind enough to let everyone know that you guys amicably, mutually ended the relationship?
Yeah, the public statement was that it was mutual.
He had 1 year left on his deal. I don't think he went to them and said he didn't want to work with Jaden Daniels anymore. But here's kind of how this went down. I was told there was a meeting today to discuss how this season went, first and foremost, and maybe equally or more importantly, the future vision of this offense and the development of Jaden Daniels. And in short order, soonly thereafter, it was announced that they would be moving on without Cliff Kingsbury. There was not enough common ground between Dan Quinn and Cliff. It happened fast. They were set to meet. I'd heard late this morning that they were going to have this meeting and that it could take a while. Like, not only the meeting itself could go a couple of hours,
sure,
but that, yeah, Joe Witt may come down the pike today. You know, that's pretty quick and easy. But this Kingsbury thing, maybe this lingers. Maybe this is a day or two or three. We'll find out. Hours later, not even, you know, more than 90 minutes, 2 hours, he's out of a job. It becomes official. And I think it was Pelissero broke the news initially, clearly from the agent side on the leak, where he said, you know, Kingsbury sought after, going to get head coaching interviews. We'll have teams lining up to make him their OC. All of that's probably true, but that is the
sure
phrasing that you get from an agent telling you that a guy is out, not a team. So that's how we got here, Danny. Issues arose as the season progressed. We'll get into what they were, but it became glaringly evident to me yesterday. Alarm bells. Beep, 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 beep. Flashing lights. Alert, alert, alert. When Dan Quinn was asked, days after a report came out, that Adam Peters is at odds with Cliff Kingsbury and that Dan Quinn could go in a different direction at OC next year, for the first time publicly about that report and just, hey, what did you think of Cliff's performance this year? And he didn't say a single positive thing. He didn't say anything to defend him.
And it would have been very easy to do, by the way.
It was over right then.
Mm.
That was the moment. We said this yesterday in our final segment at 6 o'clock when I knew this was over. And by this morning, after talking to people, it was very obvious they were headed for divorce. And the only question is, was it going to be a firing? Was it going to be a mutual parting of ways? And would it be today or would it be another day? And it was today.
The things that are coming up besides it, and again, this is all sort of, you know, leaked or rumored or reported, et cetera, about the philosophy. So let me give you my silo of my view of it, and then kind of as we go to what's real, maybe what's tangible. And here's what I mean. I'm not going to cry tears for not having Cliff Kingsbury be the OC anymore. I think there on the whole, it was positive. I think there are certainly weaknesses and things that I grew frustrated by, that continue to be frustrated by, that I've always kind of felt about him in general. The sort of simpletons always go, the Cliff's fake. No, it's not. It's very real. Here's what I mean. He is too slow to make adjustments and changes. That's what sports is. And it's most fundamental. It's two things. One, the imposition of will between two people. Pushing, pulling, hitting, whatever it is. It's two people trying for the same object or the same piece of ground, and you're trying to dominate them physically, mental fortitude, the whole nine yards. The second layer of what sports is adjusting to the tactics in real time. It's become sort of this ephemeral, mythical thing where people just sort of casually refer to the halftime adjustments of the Gibbs era or just those sorts of deals. But boiled down to its most simple, in sports, if Grant's a Major League Baseball player that's hitting 500 on outside fastballs, I bet she's not seeing an outside fastball for a little bit. He might see a cutter in. How do you adjust to that? How does the pitcher adjust to getting you out? How does the hitter adjust to what the pitchers are doing? And that's sports. That's Major League Baseball. The NFL's the same way. You ran over the league doing X. The people that are paid to stop you figured out how to stop you. What's next? What are you going to do about it? I can't live with my best player last year, for example, Terry McLaurin, just lining up on the left and watching Quinyon Mitchell shove it on him for four quarters like in that game we went to in Philadelphia. Where are my stacks? Where are my free releases? Where's my motion? Where's my something to disrupt them? He's too slow to respond to that. So I'm going, he's got some really innovative things. He does a lot of stuff well. Where's the adjustment? When Kevin O'Connell has a formula to disrupt your no-huddle situation, here comes the referee going, I'm the letter T. And now you're getting delay of games. You can't get plays off in time. They've disrupted your tactic. What's your adjustment to the adjustment? I think he's too slow in that regard. At the end of years, he does overhauls and makes things happen, and good for him, but I think he's too slow in real time. That's my gripe. But again, in general, positive more so than negative.
I think you could say about Cliff that he is largely intractable.
And this is, yeah.
And that there aren't enough adjustments and tweaks to his scheme. He does a thing. He's got a move. It's the dice move. It's Will Ferrell on the floor, but it's kind of what he's got.
Yeah, he's doing a Seth Rogen bit, and that's that.
And two things can be true, by the way. Number one, they were excellent offensively last year. They were elite. He was one of the most important people in the building. I didn't love the hire when they hired him initially. People know that. But I admitted I was wrong. He did a hell of a job with Jaden Daniels.
He's great.
He did an amazing job in his first season. He deserves as much credit as anyone in the building, maybe, other than Daniels last year for getting to the NFC Championship game. I legitimately believe that. I think this year was better than he gets and will now get credit for. To finish 12th in yards per play, that's how you grade out offense at the very basic level of everyone lines up and runs a play. Who gets the most yards on average? Washington was 12th. Without Jaden Daniels for three quarters of the season or whatever it ended up being, you know, with a lot of Marcus Mariota and Josh Johnson, that tells you a lot. The fact that they missed more man games than any other team on offense this year, and they still were not terrible on offense. What normally happens with those injuries, see Detroit's defense by the end of the year, see Washington's defense, you become a shell of yourself, you have no answers. And to his credit, he occasionally had some. But that can be true, that last year he gets an A+, that this year he gets a, let's say, a C or a B- or whatever you're going to give him, and his grade for the 2 years is a B. There's nothing fireable about his performance and the results, I'll say. That would be the word. Over 2 years. There's nothing fireable about that. So I put that in the column. But yes, I have major issues with the scheme overall, with the fact that there's one guy who does it like he does it. If it was such a brilliant way to do it, other teams would be doing it more. Nobody else runs no huddle more than 22% of the time. He's doing it almost 80% of the time. That makes it really hard on your defense. I think that is hard to make play complementary football. I will never understand why they're not under center more, why there aren't more passes in the middle of the field, pop passes behind linebackers, why they don't marry run game and play action a little bit better. Like, these are things that I don't think are strengths that have led to me butting my head. I'm also not sure that they're why he's gone, for the record. I don't get the sense when I talk to people that they are furious he's not under center or that they don't run more of those traditional Shanahan-Ben Johnson schemes. But I do think there are a couple things at play here. I keep hearing about run-pass balance.
Yeah, this is where I was going to go,
which we'll get into, which Dan Quinn apparently and him butted heads over and were at odds over at different points this year, which I'd love to double-click on. And the other thing I heard was in terms of the vision for Daniels' development moving forward, what does that look like? I think they want a little bit more of a traditional NFL offense. I think they want more of a traditional run game that maybe doesn't involve the quarterback to the extent that we have seen, possibly. But really, I think what they want is something that is less gimmicky. You know, we've seen Cam Taylor-Britt of the Bengals, Marlon Humphrey of the Ravens, call this offense out as like being a high school, college offense, whatever, being gimmicky. It's unique. It's one of a kind. It's not like what you see around the league with guys that are getting jobs like Clint Kubiak or Ben Johnson. And I think they want something that resembles that a little more. Less drop back game out of shotgun, more under center drop back passing. But I don't think that was the end all be all. Sounds like, Danny, Kingsbury and Peters butted heads over some things. Quinn and Kingsbury didn't see eye to eye over some things. And if you're Dan Quinn, you're going into a critical third season in what is maybe your last chance as a head coach. You better feel really, really good about who's running that half of the building.
There we go.
He didn't, and he said, if I'm going down swinging with a guy that I like more.
And so I go through this, just to, again, on a binary, just in this one silo, I'm not, again, crying over not having Cliff Kingsbury. I probably would have retained him, but, you know, again, it's, I'm not sitting there going, they just made the biggest mistake ever. Now, here's the second column. There's a lot to unpack here that you just touched on where I'm a little bit annoyed. I need you to understand who Cliff Kingsbury is before you hire him. You can't complain that the guy that you hired showed up and did the thing that he probably told you he was going to do. It's very easy to find the track record. It's incredibly simple to find his pattern, his behavior, how he operates in a building, who he happens to be. And the idea that he would show up and do those sorts of things needs to not be a surprise, needs to not be up for debate. Like, that's who you hired. That's on you, Dan Quinn and company. That's on you, Dan Quinn and Adam Peters. You guys now are upset that this guy runs the stuff that he runs. Whoops. That's not a Kingsbury thing for me. That's number one. Number two, if you want a better run pass balance, I suggest you go back to the 1980s. They run it more than they run it more than anybody. This year, they ran it more than they threw it. I know that includes quarterback runs, but that's not where the league is. This is a team that probably runs it, to be honest with you guys, too much when it comes to first downs. I know that every caller to this station, and probably the other one, HD2, is going to go, good, because they remember a time where they threw the ball three times in a row or something. If you just yell, run the ball, okay, I don't have time. I don't have time to address the Chris Russells of the world. I don't have time for people that just count up the number of rush attempts in a given game and decide they need to run it more. If you're Logan Paulson and you can tell me on this play, on this look, an inside zone would have worked because of X, Y, Z, if you tell me on a given snap what the defense was trying to do, what the offense was trying to do, not just for this one play, but for the whole game. Are they setting something up? Are they showing you one look three or four different times to finally do something different later on? If you're just counting up rush attempts, go, good, I don't want no Kingsbury no more. They need to establish the run. I don't have time. Adults are talking.
Yeah, what is the crux of the run-pass balance issue? That's what I need to drill down on. That's what I'm going to try to get answers on for people. Because I can't imagine it's the percentage of the time that they are running not being high enough. On first and 10 this year, they ran the ball 59% of the time and threw it 41% of the time, which is, as you said, to the extreme, probably not ideal, honestly, in terms of running it a lot. It's one of the highest rates in the league. I don't like quantity, just total number of anything, because it doesn't take into account how many plays a team runs. So it's a simpleton number. But just as an example, only three teams ran the ball on first and 10 more often this year than Washington did. Think about that. Only three. Nobody threw the ball fewer times on first and 10 in terms of quantity than Washington did this year. So again, I have a hard time believing Dan Quinn looks at a 60-40 run pass balance sheet on first and 10 and goes, we need to run the ball more than that. It's actually a higher percentage of the time running it on first and 10 than they had last year when they were a great elite offense. But they ran the ball 8% more than league average when trailing this year. They ran the ball 10% more than league average when they were tied this year. They ran the ball 3% more than league average when in the lead this year. So this idea of run-pass balance, what does that really mean? Is it the types of runs? Do you want to get to doing things differently schematically? Which brings us to this breaking news, oh, by the way. Apparently, Cliff Kingsbury is not the only member of the offensive staff that Dan Quinn is moving on from. Let's go to Toby Altizer for more.
Nikki Giovalla of The Athletic reporting alongside Diana Rossini that the Commanders have also moved off of their offensive line coach, Bobby Johnson. He joins Cliff Kingsbury on the way out and also Joe Witt Jr.
Bobby Johnson, the offensive line coach, out as well. This really surprises me.
I am extremely surprised by that.
Their offensive line had a good season, was well-regarded, grades out favorably, and everything I know is that he is very popular in the building. Is he a Cliff guy? Did he take issue with Cliff's dismissal? Did he say, you can't move on from him? We got a good thing going, and you know they start butting heads. Was their issue with Kliff, when we hear about the run game, was it how they go about it. And because of that, they feel like there's a better fit to implement what's next. Now, hear me when I say, as soon as Kliff was out, there was a really good chance Bobby Johnson eventually wasn't going to be back. And I think that's the case for a lot of these guys on the offensive staff. Like, their tight ends coach was heavily featured on Hard Knocks. David Rye, who's like really, really popular up-and-coming coach, he'll be gone because he's a Kliff guy. He was with him in Arizona. He'll be wherever Kliff goes. Head coach, OC, doesn't matter. So now you're going to have a different tight end coach. But this is what happens. When you go get a new coordinator, Brian Daboll or Tommy Reese or whoever it is, he'll want to bring in his O-line coach and his tight ends coach. And so you're probably turning over the majority of this staff. Might there be a Tavita Pritchard who hangs around? Yes, that's what happened, Rivera into Quinn. By the way, it's fascinating to me that the only coach from the amazing staff that Dan Quinn put together that's already being blown up 2 years later.
Yeah.
One of the big arguments for hiring Dan Quinn was what an amazing staff he would put together. And to his credit, last year they had a hell of a year. The staff got rave reviews. We were singing their praises.
And they go, we can't believe the continuity. I can't believe all these guys are back.
The only guy that's actually gotten a job outside of the building is a guy that was with Rivera beforehand, Tavita Pritchard, who's the new head coach at Stanford.
Who went to Stanford.
But they've now fired their coordinators, and they're moving on from Bobby Johnson. So much for this idea of like this unbelievable staff that Dan Quinn had put together. But the run-pass balance thing is really interesting to me. I think the vision moving forward of what's best for Jaden Daniels is also fascinating. And speaking of Daniels, how about this Jordan Schultz report today? Fox Sports. He says Daniels is frustrated by the decision. I saw I used the word blindsided. I don't know how that could be the case, because everyone and their brother for 24 hours knew this was coming. And at least one person in Diana Rossini had this report as of Saturday morning that this was coming down the pike. So I don't know how blindsided he was today, maybe this week or something. But this notion that Daniels doesn't like the decision, which I completely believe.
I understand that, yeah.
His relationship with Kliff is very, very close. They are very tight. I've heard from day one that Kliff was immensely involved in the pre-draft infatuation in the building with Jaden Daniels. That this was Kingsbury's guy, he really, really wanted him. And since day one, you know, they have been peas and carrots over there. You have seen, as recently as 2 days ago, the mother of the quarterback, Ms. Jackson, tweeting, and I don't normally get into families and what people are saying, but obviously everyone knows this is a different situation.
Yeah, it's a more public figure.
This is like a public figure who's heavily around, and also, I believe, in some capacity, an agent or a representative of Jaden Daniels. But she tweeted an endorsement of Kliff Kingsbury after it became known publicly that Kingsbury and Peters were at odds. That they're in this stare down, supposedly, according to The Athletic. Then the mom of the quarterback comes out to go, Kliff Kingsbury, Jaden Daniels, you know, presidential ticket, loading for year three. He's out 48 hours later. But that ain't nothing.
No, it's hard not to notice that.
Big deal to me. So between that and then the endorsement yesterday of Daniel saying he wanted Kingsbury back, and now Jordan Schultz coming out, leaking this. I don't know who sends it to him, but an agent or somebody in the quarterback's camp. Like, that is something to monitor for sure.
100%. Again, and this is what's normal, by the way. When you have this kind of disastrous season, I hate to say there should be these sorts of things, but this is pretty standard operating procedure that, you know, you can brotherhood preach all you want and you know, get to the press conference and tell everybody how everyone's in it together and have great locker rooms and this, that, and the other. But when it's this bad, heads roll. People lose jobs. People get demoted. People get traded. People get cut. This is par for the course. So this is this ownership group. This is Adam Peters' first go-around. We didn't think it would be this soon, but this was always going to happen. This is pro sports, right? Every year, there's a disappointing team in that city and their sports radio shows, and you know, every article is going to come out, et cetera, about what went wrong and why. You get the cover-your-ass type deals, which we've had here a billion times over, where it's somebody else's fault. It's, you know, it's not the GM's fault. It's the head coach. Or it's not the head coach's fault. It's the punter's fault. Or it's the you know, this coordinator or that guy. We're going to have to go in a new direction from this scout, et cetera. We've had these a million times over. We know this drill, but we didn't expect to see it with this regime, this ownership, and Adam Peters and company so soon. But here we are. Here's your crossroads, right? Changes are absolutely warranted when you were this bad, when it was this atrocious, and sort of nobody did much. Again, for the balance of the season, when things were still meaningful, the biggest adjustment was made after one of the worst stretches this century, right? It's two teams. Washington, I think it was one of the Jacksonville teams in the early aughts, had that bad of a stretch. Joe Witt changed seats. That's the only – we're fine. We're going to keep sending them up. Even towards the end of the season, it's the same personnel, the same playing time, the same snap counts. Everybody just kind of coming to work like everything's fine. No way. This was always inevitable.
I would not have fired Kliff Kingsbury today. But I don't think moving on from him is indefensible. I totally understand why they would want to have a more traditional-looking NFL offense, but you better have a plan. And when we return, I'm going to give you the names I'm hearing linked to Washington. There's a couple of guys that multiple people have told me that they're going to be heavily interested in, so we can get into those names in just a few minutes. I also think we should go back to something that you referenced, Danny, which is the complaints that they supposedly have or the issues where they are at odds with Cliff are over very Kingsbury-centric themes. You hired this
You
guy.
Hired the guy.
You want a traditional run game. Why was he your choice? You want a quarterback operating in a more NFL-friendly offense. You know, that's NFL normal. Why did you go get Cliff Kingsbury and pry him away from the Raiders where he had a deal in place, basically? Yeah. You hired Cliff, and you're frustrated that Cliff showed up. It is very, very strange to me, just 2 years after you brought him in, that a lot of the things that make his offense unique and different are some of the things maybe that they've grown tired of, unless they thought he would be less, you know, maybe more malleable, less rigid, and that they could add and subtract the things that they liked with new wrinkles. But we'll get into some names to watch as an OC candidate for Washington next. Also, what about this development that the offensive line coach, Bobby Johnson, is out as well? What does that mean in the bigger picture about what could be coming down the pike? We'll open up the phones on this at 800-636-1067. Cliff Kingsbury out as the coordinator for the Commanders. You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. Thanks to Nick Dowd for bringing us back in.
By the way, appreciate Dowder.
Cap One Arena last night, got to see a little bit of everything. The very rare game in person with two shootout opportunities in game.
I can't remember having seen that in my hockey watching life.
Penalty shots in regulation hockey. I've seen one live. I remember Carl Hagelin in a playoff game against the Caps. I'm sure I've seen another at some point. But two in the same game was wild. One for both teams. Two fights. Hat trick. First of Justin Sortiff's career.
Should they have gone for two there, do you think, at the end?
I would have. Just to
what did the analytics
in,
say? Yeah.
Nick Sirianni style. It was the down 15 corollary.
Mm-hmm.
Two Alex Ovechkin goals. It was a good night at the barn.
Indeed.
Enjoyed myself thoroughly. Today we're talking Cliff Kingsbury out as the offensive coordinator of the Washington Commanders. Joe Witt has been dismissed as well. It's a mutual parting of ways, they're saying, with Kingsbury. Doesn't sound like the visions were matching up. So what didn't they like? You know, that's something we'll talk about as the day goes on here on Grant and Danny. But you can call us now, 800-636, for your reaction. Danny, the question is, should they have moved on from Cliff Kingsbury? We're making this our G&D poll of the day, presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. Local, long-distance, residential, commercial, 3 decades, best-in-class service and experience. If you were in charge, would Cliff Kingsbury still be their OC on week one next year?
Yes, and here's why. I think you can do better. I don't think they will. I think they've got a vision in mind. Now, this is speculation. This is what's rumored. There's, you know, nobody's done anything just yet, so impossible to say, you know, one way or the other unequivocally. But I think they want to do something that's definitely not Cliff Kingsbury. They want the same orthodox, you know, run the dang ball, first, second, and third down, set up third and five, pass. I think they want something that doesn't exist really in this league anymore with good offenses. I think they want less variety. I think they want the retread, old school, whatever. Now, if you go Shanahan tree, maybe it'll be different than that. But I get the sense that that's not what they're about. I get the sense that they want something different here. And if that's the route you're going to go down, that ain't better than what you just had. If you find me, I'm making this up. If Mike LaFleur comes here because he wants to call plays under the Shanahan/Sean McVay coaching tree, I'm excited about that. But that's probably not what you're doing. I think it's going to be some, you know, kind of Neanderthal, run the dang ball, Daryl Bevel type dude that isn't exciting to me.
Should they be moving on based on results of two seasons of Kingsbury's work? I'll say no. His 2 year results are not fireable. They finished 10th and 12th offensively in yards per play the last 2 years, and they did it this year with myriad injuries. Do I have a problem with them moving on? No. Philosophically, I've just got differences and visions, I suppose, of what an offense should look like. And it sounds like they do too. So who am I to tell them they shouldn't? I'll bet I agree with some of what Dan Quinn thinks. Not the let's run the ball more stuff, but you know, if it is, let's be more traditional. Let's look a little bit more like what Kyle was running with me in Atlanta when I got to a Super Bowl. Then sign me up for that, for sure. But it's a big risk. The grass is not always greener. You have a good, solid coordinator who has a great rapport with your quarterback. And this is the last point that I'll make on why I wouldn't make this change today. Jaden Daniels is going into a massive, gotta have it, it's go time season now that will make or break him as your franchise quarterback, possibly. And while I'm putting in pen still that this guy is special and unique and elite and going to be here for many, many, many years, you are making it harder on him by changing scheme and changing offense. And I think going from Cliff, depending on which direction you go in, to, let's just say, the more traditional Shanahan-type offense, is a massive transition. That's not a small thing, man.
No.
So for him to have to learn a new offense, maybe begrudgingly because he wanted Cliff around, I think is a that's a ballsy thing to do going into year three of Jaden after this disastrous year.
You said it, and I'll try to do it succinctly. You better be right. You better be sure. Because, again, I think a head coach in general gets two of whatever it is. Two sets of coordinators, maybe two quarterbacks at best. I mean, not when you have a special case like Daniels, who's second overall. But in general, you usually get a couple of these levers to pull before it's time for you to face the music. And kind of same with the GM.
It's a good point. When you think about a coach hot seat situation, like view it as a clock that ticks down to zero and you get fired at zero.
Mm-hmm.
This is the scene in the movie. You ever seen Armageddon?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a great film.
It's a movie.
One of the greatest movies ever made.
It's a movie.
In the movie Armageddon, they're on a spaceship, rocket ship. They're on a rocket. They've landed on a meteor that they're going to blow up. And there's a nuclear warhead on this aircraft that they're on. And there's a moment where the nuclear warhead turns on. Because on Earth, they turned it on to detonate.
You got a remote detonate the damn nuclear device.
The clock in a lot of these movies for like the bomb will just suddenly start. And the countdown from 5 minutes or 2 minutes begins. The clock has begun on Dan Quinn.
Yeah. I mean, now, the sands of the hourglass, bro.
You can do some things to stop the clock. Like Harry Stamper did when he took Willie Sharp by the neck and he made him call it off. And then the lady broke the chip and then they stopped with Rocket Hound, the nuclear warhead, from going off. But the clock has started. When you start firing coordinators, when you start blowing up your coaching staff, when you pivot after a 12-loss season, and now you're kind of scapegoating coordinators and other people, the clock is on.
Yeah, nobody's crying over Joe Witt, respectfully. I mean, I know it's someone's livelihood, but that's obvious. Okay, you didn't get any turnovers. Your defense was terrible for 2 years. Done.
Let's do the Joe Witt conversation. Joe Witt's out of a job today.
That's correct.
I feel bad about that.
Yeah.
He's a human being, and I don't want him to lose his job. Back to Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, back to Cliff. Too much good deposits in the bank there for Kingsbury just to be sort of dismissed offhand. You had better be right when it comes to this. Because, again, for all the millions of reasons, no one cares if your middle linebacker has to learn a new system, a new defense. The quarterback, the most complicated position there is, and a guy coming off a really disappointing year for a million reasons, we don't have to go into them, we have before, and we will again, that's a huge ask for anybody, let alone this situation right here. So, yeah, that is it's a major risk, and you better nail this one.
We've got John Keim, who covers the team, coming up at 3. We'll get his thoughts on the major change on the offensive side of the ball, what it means for Jaden Daniels. We've also got Caps tickets today we're giving away at 4 o'clock ahead of the Beltway Blitz right here on Grant and Danny. Before we hit the phones, though, you can line them up at 800-636-1067. I did want to pass along some of the names that I've heard from around the league that Washington is either in contact with or will be expected to be in contact with in the hours, days ahead here for this OC role. The name that has come up the most for me is Brian Daboll, the former head coach of the New York Giants. Now, I've got to say personally, while I liked Daboll a lot as the coordinator with the Bills, and he's a former coach of the year as a head coach, Brian Daboll wouldn't make a ton of sense to me. If you're going away from Kingsbury to get more traditional, it's not a big enough departure, I don't think. Yes, it's a slightly more traditional West Coast NFL offense, but it's still a lot of shotgun. It's a lot of quarterback runs. He put Jackson Dart in more harm's way, in my opinion. Some of his play style did too, than Cliff did with Jaden.
Yeah.
Like if you really want to get away from quarterback run stuff and be, I keep using the word traditional, but like more of a normal NFL rushing attack with backs in the backfield, I don't know if Daboll's the guy I would turn to.
So Daboll's a guy that I actually like in general for maybe this role. Simply because his track record with Josh Allen, he was there supervising the, are we sure this guy can do it? To that transition to MVP candidate every year.
But your team, unless something's changed, run the ball with your quarterback less. Ryan Dable is the most run the ball with your quarterback.
Yeah. So the attributes that I'm looking for in general, I want that disgraced head coach that's not going to leave for an interview anytime soon, that no one's in a hurry to hire as a head coach for my offensive coordinator, but a guy that's had good responsibility, a good track record. But yes, that's the negative there.
Part of why he got fired by the Giants was Jackson Dart running downhill between the tackles over and over again.
Jackson Dart runs, then he has to run to the blue tent.
Tommy Reese is a name to watch. He was the OC under Kevin Stefanski with the Cleveland Browns, a Notre Dame background. That's a name that has come up. A guy that a lot of people probably haven't heard of, who I've gotten rave reviews on, who is going to be up for pretty much every OC opening. But because this one is appealing, because you get to work with Jaden Daniels, his name's Grant Udinski, I think it is. The OC for the Jaguars under Liam Cohen.
There's some good cologne there.
29 years old. Been working with Liam Cohen this year. Has been in a couple other places, including with Minnesota, with Kevin O'Connell. I remember Kirk Cousins raving about him when I asked him about him in the past as well. Grant Udinski, OC for the Jaguars. Every team with an opening should talk to that kid. And then Mike Kafka's name has come up, which is gross. The New York Giants interim head coach. And I'm just not interested based on how their season's gone. But that's a name I've heard as well. So those are some of the names that have been linked to Washington. The biggest of them is Brian Daboll. But do you think they made the right decision? That's the question on Grant and Danny. Cliff Kingsbury is out. We'll get some calls in next. John Kime at 3 o'clock on The Fan.
I mean, I love working with Cliff. You know, me and him have a special relationship. You know, we kind of built that over these past 2 years. And, you know, I kind of just wish I was out there more to play for him this past year. So, I mean, that's kind of the focus for me in this offseason.
Jaden Daniels talking with the media just yesterday, endorsing Cliff Kingsbury as he cleaned out his locker. And now Cliff Kingsbury is cleaning out his office. He is out after 2 years. One that resulted in an offensively driven dynamite campaign that got Washington all the way to the NFC Championship game. Grant and Danny, welcoming you back on The Fan, the Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day, asking you, if you were running the show, would Cliff have gotten a third season as the OC? Yes or no? You can go vote on the 106.7 The Fan Twitter account. Right now, it's literally 50-50.
Yeah, how about that?
Keep Cliff or move on. Let's go to the phones, 800-636-1067. Kevin's in Lanham. What's up, Kev?
What's up, Grant? Danny. Danny, loved your Billy Bob Thornton impression.
I appreciate you. It's always impromptu.
Yes, sir. So me personally, I'm okay with moving on from Cliff. We knew what Cliff was. Everybody always talked about it, that his second year, his first year is spectacular. Mm-hmm. But his second year, everybody starts catching on to his razzle dazzle, trick-a-ma-doo, now you see me, now you don't type of offense. I mean, we were still putting Deebo Samuels in the back running jet sweeps, and like the defense already knew what was coming. Like, there was no innovation of his offense. And, you know, I don't want to waste another year, another third year with the same type of offense. And it's like, even a defense, like, you know what personnel you have. Like we need, look at Drake May, Bo Nix, and what's the other one? Drake May, Bo Nix. They all putting up record numbers on their second year with new coordinators.
Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams, yeah.
Probably the other one.
Because I was like, he doesn't mean Penix.
Go to Nene in D.C. He's probably not talking about J.J. McCarthy.
That's not McCarthy either.
Appreciate the call, buddy. Nene, what's up?
Hey, Danny, for long-time listener, first-time caller.
Hit that! Hooray! Hit that! Hooray!
So does Jim Zorn.
Hit that! Hooray!
Very disappointing. You know, I really think Cliff deserves another year with this team. We just can't blame Cliff for the amount of injuries that we had on offense. And respectfully, Cliff wasn't the one giving up 31 points to J.J. McCarthy coming off, you know, a stretch of games so bad that he was the biggest meme on Twitter. That wasn't Cliff Kingsbury's fault. I think we owed him another year. The only thing that makes sense to me is that they're blaming some of the quarterback run for why Jaden Daniels got hurt.
I do wonder that, too. I think that would be ridiculous if they're putting the Daniels injuries on Kingsbury, because none of them happened on design runs. They all happened on scrambles, on passing plays, or on RPOs where he should have thrown the football. So I have to imagine that they're not, because common sense would dictate that they're too smart and they know too much to put that on him. Now, might they want him to run less moving forward? Possibly. And they may go to Cliff and say, hey, we want fewer RPOs. We want more just straight handoffs. Hey, we want to run the football with our backs more often. And, you know, let's turn the faders down on Jaden Daniels. Because as you saw, they did do less running with quarterbacks, and specifically with Daniels in that Minnesota game as an example after the injuries. That's possible. But if they're blaming him in some capacity for these injuries, I think that would be ridiculous.
I think that'd be irresponsible. But also, you know, maybe there's a philosophical thing where I go, I know you didn't get him hurt, but you're maybe putting him at risk. And there was a butting of heads there. He might have had data points. They might have had points, et cetera. We don't know all the conversations, and obviously we never will. But again, the part that I keep going back to is you hired him. No one should have been surprised that he ran the stuff that he's always run. And I bet you he runs it the next stop, wherever he ends up. College, pro ball, you hire Cliff Kingsbury, please understand that's the name that's going to be on the badge, and that's the offense you're getting.
As I would say to my wife, if she gets frustrated by how many games I go to or how many hours I spend sitting on my ass watching football, you married me. I got down on a knee. I was doing all this stuff then, too.
Yep.
You knew what you were getting into. Manny in Southeast, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
I'm looking at it. Me, myself, I probably wouldn't have brought him back because, like, the one of the previous callers said, there's no innovation to his plays. We got better. We got Debo. Even though people were hurt, we got better players that could actually run some of those plays, and they still, it looks as if the defense knew what was going on.
But who would have been better to run those plays?
A running back. Stop throwing the bubble screen to wide receivers and had them running into linebackers. They're going to break. But anyway, my thing is, I think it's more than that, because it was mentioned that him and AP was not seeing eye to eye. They was butting heads.
It's funny. That's gone away, by the way, today, hasn't it?
Good call, bud. Thanks.
Call, and thanks for bringing that up. I mean, the story Rossini came out with Saturday was Cliff Kingsbury could be out. He and Adam Peters don't see eye to eye, and they could make a change. Press conference yesterday, Peters said any decisions on the coaching staff are Dan Quinn's to make, and the perception today is certainly based on Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury not seeing eye to eye. Now, it's very possible that Kingsbury and Peters were at odds over the usage of some of the draft picks or the scheme that they were running in trying to get the most out of Jaden Daniels, and maybe Dan Quinn over different things was at odds. But the Peters part of this has completely gone away. That was the original report Saturday, that he was going to be out because he and Peters didn't have a good relationship.
Yeah, and you know, Quinn and Peters are simpatico, right? Whether there's a disagreement at one point, maybe there is, maybe there isn't, but they are going to present as united a front as possible. They want everyone to know that they are doing a buddy cop movie right now. So I think a Peters disagreement, you all of a sudden probably had morphed into a Quinn disagreement too, because Dan Quinn's going, yeah, absolutely, you're 100% right about that. I get the sense that that's where the flow of information and opinion goes. It's whatever Peters thinks, I bet you Quinn thinks it too.
Well, I always come back to who was the one person that separated themselves just a little bit when it came to Terry McLaurin, the holdouts, the messaging. Everybody was in the exact same boat, rowing the same direction.
And one person said,
Cliff, who kept going, hey, this is going on too long. We got to get this guy in here. He was the only one willing to come out and say something along those lines. John Kime of ESPN.com slated to join us next. We'll ask him about this decision and who had the bigger issue with Kingsbury that is still in the building. Grant and Danny on the Fan.